Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Previously on Finding Brittany Drexel.
He was in third period class at Lincoln High School the day that this jailhouse rat says he was in this trap house. They know he was in school, and they moved on from him.
Tim Taylor's publicly accused in the Brittany Drexel disappearance. He's dragged into court by the feds and thrown into jail.
So you were scared that people would harm you or your kids?
Yeah, we got plenty of bad messages.
Yes. Like what?
Death threats, threats of people wanting to take it into their own justice.
But the person who's really responsible for snatching Brittany, that's not Timothy Taylor.
Somewhere around 2018, 2019, the FBI comes in and says, look, we have started all over from scratch. I have gotten everything from Myrtle Beach, and we are going through every one of these leads.
Leads that take the feds back to square one.
We're following breaking news out of Georgetown County right now.
You do have the right to remain silent.
It involves a man named as a person of interest in the Brittany Drexel case.
Anything you say can will be used against you in a court of law.
Brittany was 17, a junior at Gates Chi-Lai, when she left without her mom's permission for spring break in Myrtle Beach.
Never in my wildest dreams ever thought my child would go missing, but now look where I am.
Seemed inconceivable that someone could just virtually vanish walking between two hotels on a very busy strip.
The people that did this are still in the community. They're bad people.
Do you think you could be responsible for Brittany Drexel's disappearance?
I think you could be responsible for anybody's disappearance.
From the studios of WCIV ABC News 4 in Charleston, South Carolina.
We'll give you a story that I don't think has really ever come out.
I'm Ann Emerson, and this is Unsolved South Carolina, case file number 2.
To me, this is a case of that you will remember for the rest of your life, no matter what.
Finding Brittany Drexel.
I'll take you right where the body is, but if I feel like you ain't been anywhere, you f***ing never get that body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a fact.
For many years, Ray's been the boogeyman.
Yesterday, upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today.
The boogeyman.
I wish.
It's a warning to the young.
But when I came home last night, the man was waiting there for me.
Don't stay out past dark. Don't talk to strangers. To parents, do you know where your children are?
Don't come back anymore.
I want parents to understand what to look out for.
And for the loved ones of Brittany Drexel, lasting horror.
Marissa's gone through hell since she went missing. She's still to this day has not. She's got really bad PTSD from it. Really bad.
I am so hyper aware of my surroundings. It's ridiculous.
So how do you catch the boogeyman?
If I feel like you ain't been anywhere, you f***ing never get that body.
It wasn't easy. For the first 10 years of this investigation, there was no real suspect. Local detectives briefly had their eye on a carpenter named Ray Moody, a man with a ghastly criminal history.
Do you think he could be responsible for Brittany Drexel's disappearance?
I think he could be responsible for anybody's disappearance.
Investigators felt they had a strong lead with Moody, but hit a dead end after feverish work through the summer of 2011.
Then we found that out, you know, early on after we developed him as a suspect, and we got a search warrant and I called down a full forensic team as well to conduct a thorough search of that motel room he was in.
And did you find anything?
No, we did not.
For several years, it was as if the case had grown cold. Then, in 2016, the FBI enters the picture, running with a wild story with dead bodies in an alligator pit and a young man named Tim Taylor. But that story came from a jailhouse informant, and key details kept changing. Later, it was clear he'd made the whole thing up. But not before the FBI spent nearly 4 years pursuing it, wrecking Tim Taylor's life in the process. Here's the FBI's assistant special agent in charge, Reed Davis.
When I got here, there were kind of four working theories within the investigation. And we try very hard when conducting these types of investigations to not get tunnel vision. Even if one direction seems more viable than others, we try very hard to not look for confirmation bias of that area. When I say investigative avenues, it's literally anything that's a possibility, to include no crime was committed and it's a runaway, right? Or that it was, you know, in this instance, this group of people or this group of people or Ray Moody.
In late 2019, the FBI, they quietly moved on from Taylor as a suspect, although it never said so publicly.
No one reached out. No one said they apologized. No one said that they're happy that it's over with.
Nothing.
By 2020, it was back to the drawing board. A fresh look at old evidence brought back lingering suspicions about Ray Moody, a convicted sex offender who had already spent 20 years behind bars for kidnapping and raping young girls.
When you live with a sex offender, every time something happens, you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where was he at that time?
That's Ernie, a romantic partner of Ray's. They met in prison, and Ernie moved to Georgetown to be with him after they were both released. Ernie was interviewed about the Drexel disappearance by law enforcement. This is one of those interviews just days before an arrest was made.
I would catch him secretly looking at women.
Jimmy Richardson, the prosecutor for the Georgetown Myrtle Beach area, says new information was coming in all the time.
The lead had been out there since 2011, but it really came together somewhere around 2020 when it was looked at with a fresh set of eyes and a newfangled computers and all of that, and they were able to take advantage of some of the technology.
But the big thing, says Richardson.
The big thing was Angel coming forth, and I think that really played a big part in it.
Angel Voss was Ray Moody's longtime girlfriend. Law enforcement kept bringing her in to talk.
I wanted to kind of go back to the beginning on this thing and just talk to everybody who's been interviewed before.
There was a lot that law enforcement knew about Angel and Ray. For example, they'd known about Ray's dark sexual fantasies thanks to Angel.
I thought they were all older teenage girls.
What did he tell
you? Well, he told me that he walked in their house in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. And that he didn't scare him. He followed him home. And he followed him from school and stuff like that.
But that was not enough for an arrest.
From a prosecutor's standpoint and from police's standpoint, rumors ain't going to get you very far. You know, because we've heard those on and off forever, but you got to have evidence to back it up, or you get in a lot of trouble.
For years, Richardson says Ray Moody was evasive at best when investigators tried to talk to him.
The police did try to talk with Moody, and Moody told them to pound sand, that he wasn't, you know it all. Moody said, you know it all, you don't need me. I'm not helping you. He's got a Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate himself, and he enjoyed that, and he told them, you know, I'm not helping. If you think you know all the answers, you don't need me.
Paranoid at worst. A SLED agent who investigated Ray Moody back in 2011 said the man was so leery of law enforcement, when he had to check in, he walked to the sex registry office rather than drive there.
Very paranoid. When it was time for him to report to the sex offender lady in Georgetown, he would not even come to the office. He would park a half a mile down the road.
For the better part of a decade, things went on like this. Then, in a bizarre twist, law enforcement shows up on Ray Moody's doorstep. June 16, 2021, Georgetown County Sheriff's deputies go look for a suspect in an unrelated double homicide case. For some reason, authorities haven't explained, the woman was staying on Ray's property. It's a loose thread we have not been able to tie up. What we do know, arresting this woman on Moody's property was an opportunity for investigators to reopen a line of communication with none other than Angel Vaz.
We're trying to piece this thing together because the person who did it that night, they made some mistakes.
Mistakes that meant these investigators were making progress. And 10 months later, just days after the 13th anniversary of Brittany Drexel's disappearance, it was time to talk to Angel again.
So I guess part of this too is because it's, you know, such a long time ago.
Right.
I want to find a place for you that helps serve as like a memory. So like going back to 2009. Like,
okay.
It's a long
time,
right? 50,000.
Kind of a dish hit memory, but
it's a little ways ago. I understand.
No. I mean, I'll tell you the best of my ability, but can I be 100% precise? I can't promise you that.
So what was lining up enough to put the pressure on Angel? Here's Special Agent Davis. How did you get back to Ray Moody so hard and fast when you did?
If you had to point to one thing, it would be the video enhancements that put that vehicle that he had access to in the area at the exact same time as Ms. Drexel's disappearance. And so from then on, it became, okay, how do we build a strategy to try and get the truth from him.
In this interview, investigators ask Angel about that car. Angel says it was her brother's car. Well, a Ford Explorer that's caught on video surveillance on Ocean Boulevard the night Brittany disappeared. But that car has never been flagged by the cops before.
Is that a car, SUV?
No, it was an SUV. That's why I said, when he said bravado, because I didn't know what kind. But it was an SUV. It was black.
And then Brittany's phone kept moving, presumably with that car. Another mistake, according to Angel's interrogators. Brittany's phone clearly showed that it went from Ocean Boulevard all the way to Pole Yard Boat Landing.
What's the chances of somebody being on Ocean Boulevard at 11th Street South
right at
1 minute, mm-hmm. and also being at the North Santee, which everybody in the news knows that's where the searching was done. So
exactly.
Who would have been at those two locations?
Right.
Now investigators had a car, they had a phone, but was it enough to convict? Not yet. But here's the deal. Angel was an easier target. In 2014, she made a terrible decision.
In 2014, Angel was at a party and made a statement that all of these people around here are trying to blame Moody for killing Heather Elvis.
Heather Elvis is another high-profile case of a missing young girl from the Myrtle Beach area. 20-year-old Elvis disappeared in 2013.
He has not killed Heather Elvis. If you were to ask me about Brittany Drexel, I might have to give you another answer. But Moody did not kill Heather Elvis. In fact, on Brittany Drexel, I did all of that. Ray didn't do anything. The girl that the statement was given to freaks out, obviously leaves the party, goes to the police, gives them this information. She wires up, agrees to wear a wire at a later date. She goes in and gets the same story again.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
So the feds tell her it doesn't look good.
Hey, Angel, I'm kind of a direct guy, okay?
That's fine.
I'm not going to beat around the bush a whole lot. I don't want to waste your time.
Okay.
I've been doing this for 23 years. Mm-hmm. I've been working this case for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you a couple of questions. And I'm going to discuss with you a piece of evidence.
Okay.
All right?
And that's fine. Go ahead.
I want to tell you beforehand that you've got to be completely honest
with
me, okay? So your answer, did you have any involvement in picking up Brittany Drexler?
Hell no. Mostly did not.
She was never in a vehicle with us.
I don't know if she's in my vehicle. I'm going to be honest with you, because he had no vehicle.
Okay. So you don't know. She was never in a vehicle with you?
No, never a vehicle with me. No, period.
Okay.
No.
You're absolutely...
Absolutely positively positive, too.
Okay. Like I said, I want to discuss with you a piece of evidence that we haven't discussed with anybody else.
Uh-huh.
All right, and I'm going to go through it kind of slowly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you understand completely how important this is. During the course of our investigation, we were able to intercept conversations between individuals. And one of these individuals was a person that was responsible for taking
Brittany.
Okay. You trying to find what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you a couple of quotes.
Okay.
Right, it's pretty much almost verbatim what was said by one of these people.
But the interview comes to an abrupt halt.
Just give us one piece of information.
No, no means no. I got to go.
30 seconds, Angel.
That's Angel slamming the door and leaving. That's until she realizes the feds aren't talking about Ray. They're talking about her. Once she realizes that, she comes back in and they start again.
I'm back.
Thank you.
I'm back.
Thank you.
Because I know what the conversation is. He told me. I didn't know. I just felt something, Ray said something, and I missed. You know, I don't know. But, yeah, I did say what I said, and I was talking to Karen, a friend of mine, and I was highly drunk. We've been out all night drinking, and she kept asking me questions about Ray, and everybody that comes accusing Ray. So, yeah, I did say something. I did.
You won't tell me about it?
Well, no, it's drunk. I was just wanting everybody to leave him alone. So, I put the blame on me instead of him.
Is that true, Lily?
No. I would never hurt anybody.
What's the truth then?
I don't know the whole truth. I don't know who it was that night.
I believe you, Angel. I really do.
You really don't.
I do. I believe you right now. And I'm not...
And even Artie asked me, do you think he did?
It's just that we're at the point.
I don't know.
Can I just explain one thing to you?
Yes.
What I want you to do is, it's most important at some point in time, this will tell the truth.
The investigators are getting closer to the truth.
You've been living with this. You're a person with a conscience, right?
Yes.
And I'm not saying what recording is what recording. I'm not acknowledging any of that type of stuff. But all we're looking for, we need your help, right? To piece this thing together.
I know.
I was not about to. What my belief is that it depends upon the evidence.
Right.
And all we're looking to do is find out what you know about what happened that week.
I know he, all I can tell you, because I don't know where he was. I don't. He did have my vehicle. I don't know where he was. I don't know where he was. I do know he called me and he sounded upset and all this kind of stuff. He didn't say anything about why he was upset. I don't know. I don't know. Do I think there's a possibility? Of course there's a possibility. I'm not stupid. I do know that. But I don't know anything to say yes he did. I don't know.
He did that night, he had a couple scratches?
Well, he had scratches that I was trying to remember.
Scratches. The investigators want to know about Ray's scratches. Reportedly, Moody was stopped for a traffic ticket the day after Drexel's disappearance. The officer noted in his report that he had scratches all over his face and neck. Moody also had made a midnight visit to his former lover's house, Ernie, where he kept some of his tools. That visit appeared to be within the time frame of Drexel's disappearance.
I looked at him and I saw that his face had claw marks all over it. His neck, cheeks, and he had a shaved bald head, his hat. were just clawed all the way down to here. And I said, what in the hell happened to you? Oh, he said, it was a wild weekend. He said that things had gotten out of control. And I said, well, good luck with that.
This time, the agents tell Angel she needs to wear a wire and get Raymond to confess to the crime.
You know, what do you want me to do? This is what I'm asking. I mean,
at the end of the day, we're looking for Raymond, the body, right? So that is a golden ticket.
When Angel leaves, the FBI is hopeful. Maybe she will finally lead them to Ray. Solicitor Richardson and his colleague, Scott Hickson, they were not as optimistic.
Ray's got his hand on her the entire time. But when they tell us, she's given us a lot of great information. She has agreed to wear a wire. We are sending her home. Scott and I both said at that point, she's never come. She's not going to help. This woman has been through a decade or so of torture herself.
And that's when the feds had to make a choice. They moved in.
And true to form, must have told Ray what was going on, that she was in fact working with the FBI. They light up to leave town. They pack up in the car. The FBI stops them. Ray says, I don't know the actual words, but the FBI agents took it to say, you're never getting this secret. I've got a surprise for you. The FBI agent thought he was going to commit suicide and take the information with him to the grave. The agent said, Ray, you've got it all wrong. We don't have anything on you. We're going after Angel. And that's when the light switch went off. That's when Ray went from being very belligerent to saying, let me talk with my attorneys and I'll get back in touch with you guys. We could not prove anything on Angel for accessory before the fact. We talked about all the accessories. We did have her dead to rights on accessory after the fact. So we pretty much said at that point, here's the thing, flip on Angel, treat her like a defendant. It wasn't a trick. When they talked with Ray, they said, we're going after Angel. Nobody expected him to flip like he did. Ray told him, let me talk with my attorney, I'll get up with you, to give the devil his due. His attorney called me and said, Ray is over here and he wants to give you a statement.
That night he was taken in an obstruction of justice charge. It's whatever day he was booked in Georgetown under obstruction, because we weren't going to charge him until we knew he was not BSing us.
Under Richardson's direction, the full details stayed under wraps for the time being, but his arrest raised suspicions.
And I was in the newsroom when this broke. What have you learned?
Well, that's right. And Raymond Moody is charged with obstruction of justice. He is being held on no bond in the Georgetown County Jail. We asked for the police report on Moody's arrest, and the sheriff's office wouldn't provide it. We asked sheriff's office if the arrest has anything to do with the Brittany Drexel case, and they refused to even tell us if there was a connection one way or the other.
The whole statement of fact may have taken 10 minutes, where he says, basically, Angel and I were together on Ocean Boulevard.
Angel never even knew the real story. She never knew. Anyway, while I was going down Ocean Boulevard, we were going along pretty slow driving. I was driving. And pretty walking speed. And I saw the Drexel girl walking along the sidewalk. And I was smoking pot. She noticed that. Walked over through the door and said something about that. Smells like good weed. Said, yeah, you want some? Sure. Get in. She hopped right in the back. What a problem. And we smoked the weed. Went down the boulevard and we're just in small talk. Angel's not really saying anything. But we're smoking the pot. And I said, hey, you want to party a little bit with us? We're going to get some cocaine, you know? She said, sure.
Moody says that's when he and Angel take off for Georgetown with Brittany in tow. Investigators knew that Brittany's phone went from a walking speed to driving speed. She abruptly stopped texting her friends and her boyfriend. But the idea that Brittany got into a stranger's car willingly, her father says, no way. Here's Chad Drexel.
They don't know, like I don't know. But I can tell you from raising her for 12 years that I can tell you with her strong will, knowing what he looked like then, there's no way in hell Brittany would even second look this guy, even if she was alone. Even if he did say, hey, she's not getting in the car with you. So she was forced or lured.
Several investigators I've spoken with agree with Chad. Either way, she was in that car. Moody tells the investigators what happened when they reached their destination. Pole Yard boat landing on the Charleston and Georgetown County line.
Started driving, we're just driving around, smoking, talking. And I went right into Georgetown, went right to a spot where we used to camp out down by the river. And we went down there, and when I was by myself with her, because Andrew left a while to go see her son. This thing got out of hand. And I panicked, and she panicked. And I strangled her.
Yesterday, upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there.
Coming up on Finding Brittany Drexel, the truth starts to come into focus.
I did this.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the kind of piece of shit that I am.
Today we know the truth. Today, my daughter, Brittany, is here with me, with all of us.
The race is on now to find Brittany before it's too late.
I was a monster. I was a monster then. And I was a monster. And I took Brittany Drexel's life.
Unsolved South Carolina, Finding Brittany Drexel is a production of WCIV-TV ABC News 4. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help us reach more people by giving us a positive rating and leaving a review. For more on the Drexel case, visit abcnews4.com/Drexel. For show updates and exclusive extras, follow Unsolved South Carolina on social media at UnsolvedSCPod.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Allow your imagination to be piqued by stories that are brought to life through captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. As an Audible member, you'll be able to keep your heart rate up month after month because you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. If you're in the mood for a shocking psychological thriller, check out None of This Is True by Lisa Jewell. Embrace brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.